Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The late night lip service for lovers, loners, and lounge lizards.
Yeah, well, where exactly is your accent from?
The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
Oh, I've forgotten your name already, excuse me.
On Talk Radio.
Dear listener, it's criminal to talk over this music. It's punishable by death in some parts of the world, and I can only apologise if you haven't. You've all got Forever Changes. Everyone's got a copy of Forever Changes. Go out and buy another copy of Forever Changes. It is a masterpiece, and while you're there, go and buy the first two Love albums, Love and Da Capo, and then while you're there, go and treat yourself to some of the later stuff, like, I know Johnny's not on it, but I mean, plug in Reel to Reel, which is a great album, and Love for Sale. What a record. What records? Love, in inverted commas, with Johnny Eccles, are doing their last ever tour of the UK. Me and Kath are going to go and see them next Friday. We're taking the night off work to go and see them, and always a little bit nervous when I speak to an absolute legend. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome Mr. Johnny Eccles. Good evening, Johnny. Oh, hang on, the wrong fader. Let's do that again. Johnny, stay there. Smooth. I'm nervous. Johnny, stay there. We're going to come to you in a second. Let's try that again. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome Mr. Johnny Eccles. Good evening, Johnny.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm very well, man. How are you doing? It worked this time.
Doing wonderful.
How are you? You're good, are you? When did you get to the UK?
Actually, this morning we got here, it was this morning our time, but it was afternoon your time, around 2 p.m. So.
No wonder you sound a little bit tired, brother.
Yeah, it was brutal.
This is the last tour, isn't it?
Of the UK, yes. We'll be still playing in the US, but this is the last tour of the UK, yes.
What did we do to offend you, Johnny? Did we say something? We're sorry. Is it Brexit? I apologize.
Well, yeah, it was Brexit. We got together and talked about it and said, man, we can't do this again.
Just everybody's getting older, because listen, I'm not going to say your age, but I know you are a gentleman of an age. But then also the Love Revisited band, Baby Lemonade, as a lot of people will know them, those guys, and no disrespect, those guys are old now as well.
That's right, we're all long in the tooth, so hell, we just decided, you know, because it's expensive running Walters and all of that stuff and having a nurse on hand, you know, and so we decided, it's too expensive, so we'll do this.
I wish you the very best of luck with this tour. Like I say, me and my friend Catherine, we are taking the night off work next Friday. This is how much we want to see it. We're cancelling the radio show. We're going to come and see you guys. Still fun? You still enjoying it?
Absolutely. It's a blast. I love it. It's so much fun, and getting to travel all over the world and meet such really cool people. It's just a blast.
Because I've seen you a few times, Johnny. I met you at a gig couple of years. I don't remember how long ago it was. I've seen you play without Arthur Lee. I've seen you play with Arthur Lee. And boy, oh boy, what a thrill it was for me and for a lot of people seeing the two of you on stage. How different is it? How difficult is it as well, I guess, without having Arthur there?
Well, his presence is always there. You know, I always look to my right, and there's a presence always there. But, you know, playing with these guys, we played together for so long.
Yeah.
And they were such a part of Arthur's life that it's a continuum, you know. And they play the music spot on, and They're really great people and fun to be around, so it's a blast. Yeah.
Actually, I'm asking how difficult it is without Arthur there. Of course, Arthur famously could be a very difficult man to work with. It could be argued that he was his own worst enemy at times.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's kind of a misnomer, because Arthur may have been difficult, but that was only with people that he didn't know.
If right.
He knew you, he'd give you the shirt off his back, and yeah. He was just, you know, a wonderful human being. But then he just didn't suffer fools gladly. You know, when people were kind of idiotic, he would treat them the same way.
Yeah.
As long as you were cool with him, he was cool with you.
And of course, Arthur gets all of the attention, but it was a band. There were several. Was it? There were five of you originally, weren't there?
Yes, there were.
And I've got a lot of time and a lot of love for Brian McLean as well. I mean, I wonder what it's like. You know, when was the last time you saw Brian before he passed?
Oh, it was a couple of years before he died, because we had talked of getting together, of bringing everybody back together.
Wow.
And touring. And so we chatted, and I came by. I was living in New York at the time, and I came to see him, and we chatted. And we were, whatever, you know, kind of difficulties we may have experienced in the past, it was all just let go, and we were ready to do it again. But no, Brian was an absolute genius. I loved him. He played wonderful songs, wrote beautiful songs, and he was a fine guitar player. So it was a joy to work with him.
And, you know, a very beautiful young man. Just what a voice as well he had as well.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
What was the dynamic between Brian and Arthur? Because, I'm you know, all I can go by is what I've seen in concert and on video. And Brian looked very quiet and introspective, and Arthur, you know, could be very loud and upfront. How did they work together?
Well, there was always kind of a friendly rivalry, because they dated the same ladies.
Right.
So you could say that Brian may have been Arthur's muse, because he kind of fed off of Brian's energy. And Brian, actually, because Love Before Brian, we were basically a cover band.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, we did have a couple of songs that were written by the group, but we basically played the top 40, and we were more in the R&B direction. And Brian kind of steered us into the direction that has come to be known as the Love sound.
It was you, of course, were great contemporaries of the Doors, bigger than the Doors for a long, long time. Jim Morrison, I never got the Doors, if I'm honest, Johnny. I liked them for about 6 months when I was 15, and then I never got them. Can I ask a question that might seem rude? And I apologize if he was a friend of yours, right? But
please, he's a friend of mine, but please ask anything you like. I'll give you the best answer I can.
Okay. Was Jim Morrison a dick? I asked that.
He was an asshole. He's my friend, so I liked him, but no, he just seemed to go out of his way to be that way. But that's the thing. Jim was very much into drink, you know, and he would, when he wasn't drinking, which is rarely, he was just the sweetest guy. But as soon as alcohol touched his lips, he just became that guy.
Yeah.
And so, he was hard to deal with, hard to get along with, so unless you knew him and considered him a friend, you would just turn the other way if you saw him coming.
Johnny, I love you. I love you so much. You guys have recorded a new single, which is a thrill to see you guys still making new music. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that was a song we started working on with Arthur, and then it just kind of was put on the back burner there for a while. And then we decided that we were going to put together some of the music, because there are several songs that at some point will probably be recorded and released. But this was the first couple that we got together, and I think it turned out very good. And Mike Randall and Rusty wrote the lyrics, and the group basically put together the sound, I think it's very good. I like it.
There's a lot of love. I often think that a lot of bands, the American bands, that perhaps didn't quite get the respect they deserve over there, do a lot better over here. For example, the Beach Boys kind of stopped having hits in the States in 67, but they were still big over here. Mm-hmm. And they were, you know, I think Britain considered the Beach Boys artists long before America. Mm-hmm. And the same with Love. You know, I know you guys didn't come over in the first incarnation, but you know, Forever Changes, even before it was kind of hip, was always being listed in one of the top 30 albums of all time that you must listen to before you die. Do you feel that perhaps Britain has more of a connection with your music than the States?
Absolutely. The people in Britain seem, first of all, they seem, you don't have as many distractions here as you do there. So they're much more involved in music. But I think the people here are more discerning. And just, you can tell by playing in front of an audience, they will sing along with us. And just being interviewed by different people, they know more about the music than people in the States. But, you know, so we've always felt that this was our home away from home, and we always enjoyed coming here and playing for the people here because they appreciated our music and they understood us, which is, you know, it's hard to do because we were rather eclectic in the types of music that we played, so it wasn't something that you could just put in a bag. You know, we played all sorts of music. We were basically our own mixtape, you know.
Yeah, well, the thing about Love is you were a mixed-race band before there were any other really mixed-race bands. You had white bands, and you kind of had some black Motown acts, you know, maybe you'd have the Four Tops or something, but very rarely did you see black guys with guitars, and you never saw a mixed race band. Was that, I mean, nowadays you kind of think nothing of it, although I can't think of too many. But when you're playing on the Strip and stuff in sort of 64, 65, was that part of the draw? Did people come to see you because you looked different?
Yes, that was one of the reasons they came to see us, is because we were a group that reflected the society as a whole, the society in California anyway. And because of that, we were able to people here took us to heart more so than any other groups because of that. We reflected their attitudes, and we also reflected the society at large. And so it was purposeful. We did that on purpose. We wanted a group to an American group to be who we were and not, you know, be stuck in typecast as a soul group or an R&B group. We wanted to play rock and whatever we felt like playing, we wanted to without being typecast. So it was a blessing, but it was also a curse because there were many places in this country we couldn't play. All of the South and most of Middle America, you know, we were off limits. So it kind of held us back quite a bit, but it also, you know, gave us an insight into the character of the people, so to speak.
Listen, I'm going to let you go in a bit because I know that you're tired, but I have got a couple more questions if that's all right with you,
Please.
Sir. But the first two albums are great, Love and Da Capo. They're great, and they, of course, they get overshadowed by Forever Changes because that is a masterpiece. But those first two albums are great. Do you remember the first time you guys walked into the recording studio to record the debut album? Do you remember the excitement, or was there an arrogance about you as a band?
No, that was exciting. We were really looking forward to it. And the thing was, we had played those songs every single night for well over a year. So we were well rehearsed, and we went in and just laid them down in one or two takes, most of them. But no, it was, we were finally getting the recognition that we felt from the record companies because we had been offered deals with Columbia Capital and MCA. And we chose Elektra because they allowed us to own the publishing, which none of the record companies would do.
Yeah.
And also, I enjoyed being with Jack Holtzman. You know, we have kind of our different views on things, but I always thought that the man understood music, and he knew, you know, his way around the board. I think he was an engineer before he was a producer and then a record company executive. So I have a great deal of respect for him.
The first two albums, kind of straightforward blues, rock and roll, you know, slightly underground sound. The third album is a huge departure. When Arthur and Brian, but when Arthur played the songs that he had for Forever Changes and then said, oh, by the way, we're getting strings in, What did the rest of the band think? Did the rest of the band kind of balk at the idea of this, or were you all up for it?
Well, no, we were all up for it. You see, we had heard those songs for the longest time because that's how our songs are created. Arthur would hum songs or sing stuff with just him singing with no chords and no background. And so after doing that and listening to them, everybody put their parts together and put what they felt the song needed. And so they kind of evolved over the years into what they became. But yeah, we always knew there would be strings and horns and other instruments, but we didn't know whether or not at the last minute the record company was going to follow through with their promise. So we had to play stuff and leave room for strings and horns and not knowing whether or not they would actually be there. So that was a challenge.
Final question, right? You've got to put this myth to rest. There is a myth, there is a legend that kind of half, a quarter, a fifth, 75% of an album after Forever Changes was recorded called Gethsemane.
That's correct.
Is that true or not true?
That's absolutely true, but
shut
they
up.
Weren't recorded. These songs were, when we were doing Forever Changes, it'll take a minute for me to explain, it was supposed to be a two-album set. And then at the last minute, the record company decided it was too expensive to do that. And so Brian had songs that he had written as well as I. And those songs are the songs that you just mentioned called Gethsemane. And they were named that because, you know, we were kids at the time and thought that that had been the biggest betrayal in history, where Jesus was betrayed by Judas in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah.
So that's where the name came from. We felt we were betrayed by the record company. So anyway, a little hyperbole, but that's how we felt.
So is this stuff, are you ever going to record this? Is this stuff ever going to be heard?
Stuff is being worked on right now.
Yes,
I'm writing a book as well as working on the music. So hopefully they will be released together.
Oh, are you doing a book? Are you doing an autobiography?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
When's that coming out, Johnny?
When it's done, probably sometime before the end of the year. But
dude,
just another day in the life.
Johnny, when it comes out, mate, come on the show and we will sell copies of that book for you. I can't wait to read that.
Please, I would enjoy that.
You definitely, you're very invited. You're very invited. You're invited on the show. Now, listen, I'm looking at the tour dates. There's only nine, I think. Next Friday, the 5th, at the Islington Assembly Hall, me and Catherine are going to be there. We're going to come and buy you a drink. We're going to buy a drink. You've got Bristol on the 4th, going backwards, Cardiff on the 3rd, Birmingham on the 2nd, Leeds on the Monday the 1st. Sunday, you're in Glasgow. This Saturday, you're in Liverpool. Thursday, in Brighton. Tomorrow, mate, I don't know if you know this, you're on the Isle of Wight, and that's quite some distance away.
Yeah, I know we're playing that tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to that.
You've got strings there as well at the Isle of Wight. You've got a string section.
Yes, this is going to really be cool. We're looking forward to that.
Go to bed, Johnny. Get some sleep because you've got a long day travelling tomorrow, brother.
And thank you so much.
No, listen, thank you, man. Thank you for coming on the show when you've just arrived in the UK. And I've got to say it, I mean this sincerely. Thank you so much for the brilliant concerts I've seen and for the brilliant, brilliant records that have meant so much to me throughout the years, man. So thank you for all of the work that you've done. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, it's been our pleasure.
Johnny, I will come and shake your hand on next Friday. I look forward to it. Enjoy the tour, fella. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Huh? Thank you so much.
There you go. Johnny Eccles, man. What a nice guy. I've just tweeted the tour dates. If you want to thank Johnny, please, Sam. I've just tweeted the tour dates. If you go to love-revisited.com, they're all up there. Come and join us on next Friday at the Islington Assembly Hall. It's a great venue. It's going to be a great band. Me and Kath are going to be there. It's going to be fun. I must admit, Catherine, I was panicking a little bit when... are you a friend of Jim Morrison? Yeah, but you can ask me anything you want. Was he a dick? He was an asshole. That's a great line. That is a great line. Thank you, Johnny. This is the Late Night Alternative. We have no phone calls lined up, so now is a great time to give us a call. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
This is Talk Radio.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.